Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, conservative icon, and the author of more than 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies, Turbo Reader, and the important new book called The Supremacists, The Tyranny of Judges and How to Stop It. And now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
A new book by an author who has an extensive background in the field of education called Escape to Learning, An Educator's Answer to the Public School Crisis, expounds on this thesis that the public school establishment is a powerful lobby with a monopolistic entrenched bureaucracy that controls students with appalling inefficiency and lack of accountability. That's a mouthful, isn't it? According to this educator, Richard Neal, our educational system is based on the Prussian system, which was designed to produce students subservient to the state. The Prussian school system was owned and run by the government and based on regimentation, rigid bureaucracy, and discipline by fear. Richard Neal characterizes the current public school monopoly as the antithesis of all that is American. He contends that the rigid education structure is antithetical to human mental and physical development. He describes the power of the two major teacher unions, the National Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers, which have a combined annual income of over $1 billion. In private corporations, management can pursue the best interest of the stockholders. But it's a major conflict of interest when school board members get elected to their political positions with the support of teachers' unions. Unlike a private company, a school board has no profit or loss incentive. In fact, failure often guarantees additional funding for public schools because the prevailing mindset is to tackle every problem by spending more money. If private schools don't satisfy their customers, they go out of business. But public schools cannot go out of business, no matter how poorly they perform. This book presents the case that the government-supported monopoly of public schools can change only through tuition vouchers without regulation from politicians. That's the only way to get what he uses as the title to his book, Escape to Learning.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Can we send you the latest edition of the Education Reporter? Just write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002, and read about what's working and what isn't in schools across the country and in your community. Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002, or go online to eagleforum.org. Join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, the man who says, you can fool some of the people all of the time, and those are the ones you want to concentrate on. Derry Brownfield.
Hello there, Derry Brownfield here, and I am happy that you're along on this adventure in broadcasting. It is the talk show with the country flavor and some common sense points of view. Yesterday, we had as our guest Wayne Kreitz, and we talked about his book, One Man with Courage, The Wayne Kreitz Story. And Wayne, of course, was the farmer back in 1981 that had 32,000 bushels of soybeans on storage. And the judge found out that that those soybeans were in a bankrupt elevator and said that the beans belonged to the elevator, so they could use his beans to pay off the elevator's debts and not his debts. He took the thing to court. A grand jury refused to indict him. Two 12-person juries found him not guilty. But a judge then charged him with criminal contempt and would not allow a trial by jury, fined him $245,000, which increases at the rate of $50,000 a year plus 10% interest. And he has now written a book. Yesterday, when we got off of the air, the phone just rang constantly for at least, I'm going to say, 30 or 45 minutes. We didn't get near all the calls. Beth was working on the Chronicle, and she wasn't there to answer the phone, and Jeff and I couldn't handle the phone calls. Here's some of the emails. Please have Wayne back soon for more of his compelling story. That was such a great show. Wayne is truly a hero. Of course, farmers and ranchers are a rare breed. Wayne stood for the truth and for his property, just like our founding fathers. Please get Wayne back as soon as possible. Great show. Thank you, Beth and Derry, for providing such a wonderful show. Your show is always good, but sometimes it is gooder, like when we have guests like Wayne Kreitz. So today we're going to have another one of those gooder shows. Yesterday, after we got off the air, Wayne starts telling more stories, and I said, Wayne, we're wasting an excellent program. I said, let's go back and do a sequel tomorrow, which is today. So Wayne's with us, and Wayne, hey, it's good to have you as a guest on the Common Sense Coalition.
Derry, it's good to be back on.
You told me you received several phone calls also.
Yes, we received phone calls that people had listened to your program, and they were just all complimentary of the program that we had yesterday. A lot of the people in the area here pulled up your show on the Internet, and they were able to get the audio, and they could listen to it. And so it has really been good for us.
Well, yesterday when the show was over, we started talking about some of the things that happened, and I'm sure everybody listening today was not listening yesterday. So why don't you take about the first five or few minutes and kind of give us a rehash of where we're coming from on this?
All right, Derry, real briefly, I had 32,000 bushels of soybeans stored in the elevator. The elevator went bankrupt. It was simply my private property. I was renting a storage space. A federal judge come in and said he was going to sell the grain free and clear of all liens to pay off the debts of the elevator. And I was saying, hey, you know, this is not right. This is my private property. You know, you don't have the right to sell my private property free and clear of all liens to pay off somebody else's debts. And when it become apparent that that the judge was literally going to do that, then I made the decision to go into the elevator and remove my grain to prevent them from doing that. And so when I made that announcement that I was going to go to the elevator and remove my grain, I set a date 30 days in advance. I said if it hadn't been determined this grain is not mine, then I'll be there to remove the grain. And there was farmers and business people and people from the local community. They were there to help me. There were hundreds of people there. There was a great number of federal marshals and FBI agents there. When we got to the elevator, we had set the deadline at 10 o'clock, and when there hadn't been anything resolved, I went up to the federal marshals. They read me their court order preventing me from coming in and getting the grain. I accepted the court order. I walked down the line and shook hands with all of them. I went back and got in my truck, and just and my wife and kids were in the truck with me. The back of the truck was loaded with farmers, and we simply drove very slowly towards the federal marshals, and just as I got to them, they parted out of the way, and I pulled in on the scales. And that's what started the battle, and we were able to remove the grain through the help of neighbors and everything. We sold the grain, and I was able to start paying off my bills, and then all the legal proceedings. I was first charged with conspiracy. I went before a grand jury in St. Louis. They refused to indict me. Then they came back and charged me with obstruction of justice. I had a jury trial in Fayetteville, Arkansas. That jury found me innocent. Then they turned around and charged me then with criminal contempt. I had a jury trial then in Little Rock, Arkansas. Again, the juries found me innocent. So when the juries found me innocent the second time, then the federal judge says, well, I'm going to charge you with civil contempt. It's a non-jury offense. You will not be allowed to have a jury trial. And he just arbitrarily assessed a fine of $245,000 to accumulate at $50,000 a year at 10% interest, and that's been ongoing since 1981.
Do you have any idea how much that amounts to now?
I don't, but somebody here a while back figured it up, and they, as close as they could figure it, may be in the neighborhood of $30 million.
Now. Really?
That compound interest, as everybody knows in the farming business, can accumulate quite heftily.
Right, and at the time, for those of us who can remember your story and remember 1980 and 79 and 80, that those beans were worth about $11 or $12 a bushel. That was a high time.
That is correct. And you know what made it doubly hard for our family and our farming operation? This was our 79 crop that we had stored. During this whole battle that we was going through to get our beans back from 1979, we had planted our 80 crop. We had a massive drought in our area, so the crop I had in the field was burning up. But the grain I had in the elevator, the price was going up. So I thought, you know, they had doubled in price. So I thought, well, even if our crop is burning up, we're still going to be able to be all right because of the high price of the grain. And then my elevator goes bankrupt. And then the judge is trying to sell my grain. And if you'll remember, interest rates then went to 18 and 20%. And so, I mean, it was we was in a really economic bind.
Well, when we come back, I'd like to hear, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition. Listen to this show again at DairyBrownfield.com.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Turned, visiting for the second day in a row now with Wayne Kreitz. Yesterday, I knew we weren't going to have time to take callers. Perhaps we will today. If we do, our number is 1-800-973-3779. Wayne, I'm looking at the pictures in your book. The book, by the way, is entitled One Man with Courage, and I'll tell you how we're going to handle the book for Wayne. You can get it through us. But beautiful pictures in here. I say beautiful, I mean you have this whole thing documented. And the apparently you had video cameras running there also, right?
Yes, there was.
Did you put any of this together in the form of a video?
No, we have not put anything together in form of a video. It's all in print.
You know, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, it's something that we might consider that we need to do.
Okay, back to the entire scenario of this thing. If you knew then what you know now, and I'd say, what would you do different? You say, I wouldn't have put the beans in the elevator. but assuming that the beans were already in the elevator, if you knew then what you knew now, what would you do?
I don't know of anything that I would have done different. If I would have just sat back and done nothing, then we would have lost that crop, and we would have never recovered from it. You know, when I was trying to decide what I was going to do and make the decisions, there was a lot of press coverage in it. But I'll never forget, a farmer called me from Oklahoma, and he said, Wayne, he said, our elevator went bankrupt in 1976, and because of that, we lost everything that we had. He said, I want you to think about something. You don't have anything to lose. You've already lost it, but you have a chance to get it back. But you have got to reclaim it before they sell it and take it away from you. And so that was one of my guiding lights. Barry, I didn't feel like that we had a choice, that if we were going to survive and reclaim our private property, then we had to take action. And looking back at it, I wouldn't have done a thing different.
Now, a lot of folks say, well, why did he wait till now? Here, this happened in 1981. Here it is 2006 to come out with this book. You might want to explain that.
Yeah, Barry, one of the main reasons I did, people, until they read this book, cannot imagine how much help to me the federal marshals and the FBI. I can't say enough about the way they helped our family and did everything they could to support us. You know, they had their job to do. We treated them with respect. They treated us with respect. But I couldn't tell the story the way that it really happened until those people had a chance to retire and get out of the system. Because if I'd have printed this book right after it happened, it could have jeopardized their careers, and I did not want to do that. So we waited this long to print the book.
I hear music, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, Wayne has stories to tell. I'll bet you, when you go out to speak, you speak for how long a speech do you usually give?
It takes a minimum of an hour or an hour and a half, you know, to cover the story, and then you just have to
hit the highlights
is all you can do, because Derry, this battle went on for 8 years, literally.
Okay, well, the clock's going on tells us we need to take a break.
This program has been previously recorded.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show, online at DerryBrownfield.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right. Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today, because you can handle the truth.
And we have returned. Wayne, you mentioned some of the things that happened, and of course, this Judge Baker was part of the problem. But you were talking about how the marshals, in many instances, backed you up. And I'm reading from your book. One of the marshals said, "We can see your biggest problem is Judge Baker because he is a prick. We just finished talking to him on the phone, and he has threatened to arrest us for contempt of court for not upholding the court order."
That is correct. And it was just an amazing thing when one of the federal marshals told me, he said, "Wayne," he said, "how in the world do they expect us to arrest a bunch of farmers and their families when they're right?" And that was the way it was. I mean, the federal marshals and the FBI that were there, they knew that we were right and what was happening to us. and they just could not bring themselves to arrest us. And,
you know, you would think that they could have talked some sense into Washington.
Well, you would think. I know that we had two people in Washington, D.C., trying to get this thing resolved, talking to everybody up there, and there was it was just like, well, this is a federal judge. There's nothing anybody can do about it.
And bitchy.
Yeah, that you know, we do have checks and balances in this country. And, you know, when a judge does not uphold the Constitution, you know, through our checks and balances, it's Congress's obligation to remove those judges from the bench. That's the way our founding fathers set up our country, so that if somebody was abusing power, they could be removed. You know, all three segments of our government are, you know, have checks and balances on each other. And they're not doing that.
Tell about the first trial by jury. It was in Arkansas when the prosecutor was interviewing one of their own witnesses, who was a deputy sheriff.
Right.
Pocketbook deal.
Do go ahead. The prosecutor had a deputy sheriff that was there from Gravette, Arkansas, where I was arrested, and he asked the deputy. He said, "During this episode at Gravette, Arkansas, when Wayne Kreitz was arrested, did you witness any acts of violence?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "Well, would you tell the jury what acts of violence you witnessed there?" And said, "Well, when the federal marshal arrested Wayne Kreitz and started to put him in the car, there was a little old lady repeatedly hit him with a pocketbook."
That didn't help the case any, did it?
I really don't think it did. I don't think it did.
Tell your listeners how you got set up there in Gravette.
Well, Bob Pickett, who was the president of the Chamber of Commerce there at Gravette, Arkansas, invited me down.
Now, you're out. Our listeners that weren't listening yesterday, they don't realize why you're walking as a free man here. Because
that's right. I had been in jail at Russellville, Arkansas. The Judge Baker put me in jail for contempt of court because I refused to name the farmers that had helped me and the people that helped me remove the grain. So he put me in jail for contempt of court, and I was in there, I think, for 32 days, I believe. And anyway, when I did finally get out of jail, then there was people all over the country calling me and wanting me to speak, and Bob Pickett called and wanted me to be the Grand Marshal of their parade at Gravette, Arkansas, on their 89th annual Gravette Day festivities, and speak in the park later that afternoon. And when I got to Gravette, I was in Bob Pickett's office, and the phone rang, and it was a federal marshal that I'd got acquainted with at the grain elevator that had been transferred to the Fort Smith district. And he said, "Wayne," he said, "you've got a problem." He said, "That judge and trustee are going to set you up tomorrow at the Gravette Day festivities to embarrass and discredit you." And he said, "My advice, you better get back to Missouri." Well, when I hung up, I told Bob Pickett and the rest of the people there that was in the office, I said, "You know, I just had an anonymous phone call because I didn't want them to know that the federal marshals were tipping me off what was going to happen." And I said, "You know, I don't want anything to interfere with your Gravette Day festivities, and, you know, I'll just go back to Missouri." And he said, "Well, Wayne," he said, you know, "we've advertised this. People's coming in from all over to hear you speak." And he said, "It's really going to put us in a bind." So I said, "Well, sure, you know, I mean, if they're going to do something, they're going to do it sooner or later." So I went ahead and stayed. Well, the next morning I was there, and in his office, and the federal marshals walked in and asked me, he said, "Are you Wayne Kreitz?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Do you have any money or valuables on you?" And I said, "Well, I've got about $150, my watch and wedding ring." And he said, "Well, I'm ordering you to turn them over to me." And I said, "Well, you know, I can't do that." And he said, "Are you refusing a direct order from a federal marshal?" And I said, "Well, yes, I guess I am." And so he raised his voice, didn't get smart, but he wanted everybody to hear because he's building his case. And he said, "You are refusing a direct order from a federal marshal." And I said, "Yes, sir." So he left a little
bit. Now, what if you had not have answered him? What if you'd have just stayed mute?
You know, I don't know what would have happened. I don't know if he would have arrested me on the spot or what he would have done.
See, that's what I thought. Would you have done anything different? See, that's what Jesus did. He just wouldn't answer their questions.
Right. Well, anyway, as soon as he walked out the door, and a little bit of guy come running in and said, "Wayne, they're getting ready to tow your van off out front." Well, it wasn't even my van. Our Ford dealer, Bud Shell here at Dexter, had loaned me the van to drive. But anyway, when I seen they was going to tow it off, I stepped between the wrecker and the van, and they arrested me because I refused to move. And they took me to the Fort Smith jail.
But you had given your watch and billfold and stuff to your buddy there.
Yes, I did, because I didn't want him getting anything from me. So I give all of my valuables to a person that was with me.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break. Boy, these breaks come up at the worst time. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show, online at DerryBrownfield.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Wendell Fleshman will be holding a special cow, bred heifer, and bull sale at the Milan, Missouri Livestock Auction this coming Saturday. That's March the 18th. Wendell's expecting 800 head. Most of these cows will already have calves on the ground. However, a few will be bred to start calving this fall, and some are in the process of calving during the sale time. Early consignments include a 50-head string of black and black baldies. They have nice calves by their sides. Another consignment includes 40-head of fancy Angus heifers. Now, they'll weigh from 1,050 up to 1,100 pounds, and they have calves on the ground, too. Here's 31 head of black 3 to 5 year olds bred to Angus bulls that are calving now, and an 80 head string of 3 to 6 year olds bred to Angus bulls to calve this fall, along with a 40 head string of red, white face, and Charley cows bred to Angus bulls. That's for the special cow and bred heifer sale coming up this Saturday. That's March the 18th at the Milan, Missouri Livestock Market.
What is sustainable development? You may have heard people talking about it in public meetings, on the radio, consultants and university professors lecture on it, and at various levels of government it may even be mandated. But what is it? Now get the pamphlet Understanding Sustainable Development Agenda 21. It's an easy-to-read 22-page booklet that will explain its origins, theoretical underpinnings, major programs, and the means by which it is implemented. Specifically, it refers to an initiative of the United Nations called the UN Sustainable Development Agenda 21, the most comprehensive statement of a political ideology that is being progressively infused into every level of government in America. Get the pamphlet Understanding Sustainable Development Agenda 21. Send $3, check, cash, or money order per copy to Agenda 21 Booklet, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. That's $3 per requested copy to Agenda 21 Booklet, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023.
I'm visiting with G.B. Oliver of Paragon Foundation. Tell our listeners about the Paragon.
We were very fortunate when Mr. Lineberry helped us set up this foundation that he endowed us in a way that we could run the infrastructure. So therefore, we don't have to take any monies that anybody contributes to this foundation and use it for anything other than to help the people down on the ground. One thing Mr. Lineberry made me promise, 31 days before he died, when we sat down and we worked this out, he said, I want you to take this foundation and I want you to help the people that can't help themselves. And I made a commitment to him, and I will die with that commitment. And I can assure you that when you contribute any money to this foundation, it goes to those people on the ground and helping those people on the ground, every dime of it.
Get a free copy of the Paragon magazine and support the Paragon Foundation today by calling toll-free 1-877-847-3443. That's 1-877, that's toll-free, 847-3443. Or go on the web at paragonfoundation.org.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. And here's the star of the show, the man who says, education is what you get when you read the fine print. Experience is what you get when you don't. Derry Brownfield.
And we have returned, visiting again with Wayne Kreitz. Wayne, now, you, the federal marshal is in the process of arresting you. Hi, Wayne, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
The federal marshal was in the process of arresting you. You'd given your watch and your wallet, et cetera, to your friend.
Right, and so they put me in the car. They had a federal marshal sitting beside me in one in the front seat, and the local deputy was in their vehicle, and the people gathered around the car and wasn't going to let it leave. And finally, they just kind of kept bumping the crowd with the car until they finally got an open space, and they took me to Fort Smith Jail and incarcerated me there. And there it was pretty rough. They first put me in.
Well, let's not go into the jail story. Okay. On today's show.
All right.
But we're going to let people get the books.
All right.
Because really the jails thought that was something else. But the point I wanted to make is, ladies and gentlemen, this is your federal government in action. If you think we have a justice system in this country, you may as well forget it. And that was back in 1981. What is it like in the year 2006?
That's exactly right. And Derry, a story I want to tell you about the second time that I had a jury trial in Little Rock for Judge Isley. You know, my lawyer told me that, Wayne, you're in an indefensible position. They're going to convict you, and you're going to get 20 years hard time. And he said, boy, do you understand what that means? Well, he did not think the jury would find me innocent there in Fayetteville over the Gravett deal. But that jury stood up and found me innocent. And when they found me innocent there, then the Judge Isley, he turned around then and charged me with criminal contempt and ordered me to appear in his court, and I demanded a jury trial in Little Rock. And during this trial, one of the things that was very interesting, the prosecutor, he handed me a newspaper, and he said, I want you to read what I've got outlined there. So when I started reading it, it talked about when I was in jail at Fort Smith. Well, my lawyer jumped up and objected and said that wasn't supposed to be brought into evidence, and so the judge called my lawyer and the prosecutor up to the bench. And pretty soon my lawyer come back to me, and he said, Wayne, he said, we're going to declare this a mistrial. And I said, no, we're not going to declare this a mistrial. I want this jury to rule whether I'm innocent or guilty, and I won't accept a jury or a mistrial. He said, Wayne, we got a chance to have this court case thrown out. I said, no. I said, I'm before a jury of my peers. And I want. He said, well, Wayne, he said, the judge has ordered me and the prosecutor back in the chambers. And I said, I do not want you going back in the chambers. I said, I don't want you sitting there making deals behind my back. He said, Wayne, I've got to go. He said, the judge will find me in contempt of court. And I said, Mr. Wilson, I said, you're working for me. I am the one paying you. You know, you're not working for that federal judge. And he said, well, what am I going to tell the judge? And I said, tell him I don't trust you. I don't want you back in your chambers, making deals. Oh, he said, Wayne, he said, I can't do that. And then I said, well, Mr. Wilson, then you're fired. He said, oh, Wayne, he said, you can't fire me right here in court. And I said, well, you tell the judge that I don't want you going back in the chamber. So he went up and told the judge what I said. And I tell you, that judge got red from his neck all the way to the top of his head. And he sat there a little bit. And finally he said, Mr. Kreitz, he said, this court wishes your presence in the chambers with the attorneys. Would that be acceptable? And I said, yes, Your Honor, it would. So we went into the judge's chambers, and they were arguing about a mistrial. And I said, Your Honor, I do not want a mistrial. I want this jury to rule. And he looked at me. He said, so you don't want a mistrial? And I said, no, I do not want a mistrial. He said, all right, let's proceed.
Now, you'd already been through the first. This was the second jury.
This is the second jury trial. And that's the thing that people have got to understand. You know, I've heard judges say, this is my court. I'll make the rules. You know, that is not their court. That is the people's court. And when you're in there as a defendant fighting for justice, you're the most important person in that courtroom. You know, never be disrespectful to the court or the judges. But you have certain rights that was guaranteed us under the Constitution and our Bill of Rights that our founding fathers fought and died for. And if you give those rights away, then, you know, you're neglecting your duty is the way that I look at it. And so anyway, we went on with the trial. And Derry, I'll tell you how bad they wanted to convict me. The government subpoenaed my dad as a government witness against me. And when they put my dad on the witness stand, they wanted him to tell that he had, on a certain day at the Ristine elevator, did you witness your son taking that grain out of the elevator? And of course, my dad was a pretty sly person. And so when he started answering, he started saying, well, you know, he went back through every one of his childhood illness, how they was in a corncob fight tomorrow and he fell out on his head and all of this type of thing. But he finally led up to the fact that about a year ago, he'd had cataract surgery. And he said, you know, I just can't really truthfully say what I seen at the elevator. So, anyway, but the jury did find me innocent, and when he did, Judge Isley just berated the jury, and he just really got all upset.
What did he say?
Oh, he just told them that he actually cursed the jury. And just had a fit in court and said that the federal marshals and the FBI didn't do their job. I mean, he was just hollering at everyone. But I found out from that there is a higher power than a federal judge. The next day in the newspaper out of Little Rock, it had a statement from Judge Isley, and he said, you know, when you're against a 12-person jury and your own mother, he said, maybe I was wrong in my conduct at the trial. And I've got a newspaper article that his mother, the press, talked to her, and she said, I was so ashamed of my son in his conduct at the Wayne Crites trial. So, see, there is still a higher power in a federal judge. Their mother can still bring them down.
You know, I'm looking at the Citizens Rule Book here. Almost every jury in the land is falsely instructed by the judge when it is told it must accept as the law that which is given to them by the court. That the jury can decide only the facts of the case. The jury does not, but we have seen this about a time or two when somebody tries to say, hey, we want to see the rest of that. Well, they'll say that juror was incompetent or something and get rid of them.
That's exactly right. And at my Fayetteville trial, Judge McWaters, whenever he instructed the jury, after all the testimony, his final statements to that jury was that this is a criminal proceeding. I will not accept a hung jury. He said it must be unanimous. But I'm telling you, the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if you come back with anything other than a guilty verdict, we just will throw all of our laws out the land, everybody staff on a six-gun and go down the street shooting.
That's probably why it made them come back with an acquittal, don't you imagine?
It could very well be. You know, a judge is supposed to be an impartial referee, and they certainly are not. That is certainly not always the case, I can tell you.
That was the trial at Little Rock then.
That was the trial at Fayetteville. And then at Little Rock was where Judge Isley really came down on the jury for finding me innocent. And another funny thing, you know, at the Fayetteville trial, you know, they had confiscated my van. Well, when the jury found me innocent and the judge finally, he dismissed the court and he was getting ready to go into his chambers, and I thought about the van, so I got my lawyer and I got him by the arm and I said, hey, tell the judge to release the van since I'd been found innocent. And so Mr. Wilson, just as the judge was going into his chamber, he hollered, Your Honor, he said, Mr. Kreitz requests that you return the van to him. And the judge just looked back over his shoulder and he said, it'll be a cold day in hell. And it took me about 3 months, but I did finally get my van back, or I got the Ford dealer's van back.
Yeah, you just borrowed the van in the first place.
It to me to drive. Yes.
On page 92, I'm looking at you and a very young-looking Bill Clinton.
That is right. That was whenever the Judge Baker, when I refused to name the people that helped me and I was in the Russellville jail, Bill Clinton came to the jail and visited with me. And it wasn't just Bill Clinton that came. There was teachers from the local schools that would bring their classes over to the jail, and I would meet with them and talk to those students there from the local schools. And then the mayor of Russellville came to the jail, and he gave me the keys to the city, and he said, Wayne, he said, this will get you into anything in Russellville. And I said, well, Mayor, I appreciate that, but I need a key to get me out of something.
Get out of Russellville, right.
But it was amazing, the people that came by and met with us there. And I can't say enough for the sheriff and the jailers and everybody there.
All right, now let's go back to the sheriff, because, we're not going to have time here to really get into this thing, but I could say a few things about the sheriff. He might have been a nice guy, but he could have controlled those marshals.
Yeah, you know, the way I understand our Constitution and the way our laws are set up in this country, that the sheriff is the highest ranking law enforcement officer in the country because they are elected by the people.
Right. Hang on. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Visit Derry online at DerryBrownfield.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com. The store that invests its profits in your freedom.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
And we have returned. I don't know whether to take a call or not because we've got so many, we've got so much to talk about here. Let's go into this sheriff thing just a little bit further, Wayne, because, Bill, I'll try to get to you if time permits. On this sheriff thing, we have at least two sheriffs that I know of out west. Wayne Hage's sheriff in whatever county he's in there in Nevada will not allow the feds to come into his county without they first come to him, and he goes with them. And you know they were going to come back and try to confiscate more of Wayne's cattle. And the sheriff just stood up and said, no, if you come on Wayne's property, he said, we've got deputies out there. We're going to arrest you. They were going to arrest the feds. So it can be done. These people are just running roughshod, and they know they don't have the authority. They went through intimidation.
That's correct. And, you know, I had a situation here over the elevator deal when we had deposited grain in the Barney elevator, and the judge ordered it sold free and clear of all liens, and I knew that they were going to bring trucks up out of Arkansas to load the grain up, and the federal marshals would be with them. I went to our local sheriff, and I told him, I said, I want you to arrest them whenever they come to get that grain, because they're stealing my private property, and as a citizen of Stoddard County, it's your obligation to protect me. He said, oh, Wayne, I couldn't do that. And I said, yeah, I believe you could. And he said, well, get in the car with me. Let's go up to the jail. He said, so I went up there with him, and he got down some books, and he found a statute in Missouri that says if a citizen of Missouri sees what they believe is a felony being committed, they have the right to make a citizen's arrest. So what he agreed to do, he said, Wayne, if they come up and start to load your grain, if you can arrest them and get them up here to jail, I can hold them for 24 hours. So that was the original thing that I was going to do till circumstances changed and I decided to go back and load the grain up on my own and get it out of there. But yes, the sheriffs of the counties have tremendous amount of power if they will use it.
And most of them, number one, don't know it. And the second thing is they've all jumped in these memorandums of understanding with the feds and, oh, we're going to get you a new police car and some radios and some flak jackets if you'll just go along with us.
That's right. And they do have the power to protect the citizens of their county.
Okay, very quickly, Bill. Hi. Bill, are you there?
Yes. Yes.
Very quickly.
Yes, these judges... they have far too much latitude. There's no oversight and there's no rules of conduct for a courtroom. And when they try to direct a verdict, they are tampering with the jury. And they should be charged as such right there.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he said all I expect is a guilty verdict.
Yeah.
I mean, that is jury tampering, is it not?
Well, you know, to me, it was instructing the jury to bring back a guilty verdict and not even to consider an innocent. So I would say you're probably right.
Yeah, well, it looks to me like that judge should have immediately been impeached.
Yeah,
right.
Sure. That's all I have to say. Good luck, pal.
Okay, Wayne, we're going to come into the home stretch here. When we come back, I'm going to tell our folks how we can help them get your book, because we mentioned how to get it yesterday online, et cetera, and we got a gob of calls, and we now have the books coming in. Let's take a break.
Listen to this show again at DerryBrownfield.com.
In these days and times, money is hard to come by, and so is real news. My monthly newsletter is only $24.95, but I know there are times when that's a lot of money. If you've wanted to subscribe but have hesitated because of the cost, I want to make you an offer. Send me a request for a free sample, and Beth will send you free our most recent month's issue just for your personal review. You know that I'm not politically correct, and the news you'll read in the Common Sense Chronicle you will not read in your local newspaper are here on your national news networks. It's important to keep informed. There is much news to tell. So, no more excuses. Try my monthly newsletter now. We'll send you the most current issue that we do have on hand. Take a free peek at the Common Sense Chronicle by requesting your free issue today. Just send us your name and address for free sample. P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023.
Gold prices moved higher Thursday on a weaker dollar and higher oil prices for a gain of $14 an ounce over the past 4 days. Analysts remain upbeat about the precious metal's ability to reach $600 level this year. Gold closed up $1.30 to $554.40 an ounce. The Senate voted Thursday to allow the national debt to swell to nearly $9 trillion to prevent a default in U.S. Treasury notes. More at SwissAmerica.com. And now this.
5 years ago, my book, Rediscovering Gold, announced the start of a new gold rush. Today, experts are calling for gold to hit $1,000, $2,000, even $3,000 an ounce. The good news is, it's not too late. Gold is still a bargain. If you want to understand gold before it hits four digits, call now for my latest newsletter, The Rule of Gold, at 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUYCOIN. Discover why gold rules.
Let me tell you how to get Wayne's book if you're not online, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to tell our listeners how they can get your book. We're carrying the book here at the office, and they can order it directly from us. The book is One Man with Courage, The Wayne Crites Story, and we'll deliver it to your mailbox, put it in your mailbox for $18. So send $18, check, cash, or money order to Wayne Crites Book, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. It's 145 pages with a softback cover, and you can have it for $18. We'll put it in your mailbox for $18. Just send that to Wayne Crites Book, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. It's the most interesting thing I've read in a long, long time. And I have several people that are wanting me to promote their books because they're fiction. They're novels. I don't have time to read a novel. But this is true stuff. It is good stuff. And it points out exactly. And this goes back to 1981. You think things were bad then. What are they like now when it comes to our justice system? But anyway, we can put the book in your mailbox for $18. So just send check, cash, or money order, 18 buckaroos to Wayne Crites Book, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. Okay? Now, Wayne, we just have a very few short minutes left. But are you a free man?
Yes, I'm a free man.
Okay, do you ever have any fear? Because these judges hate you like the devil hates holy water. You know that.
I understand that. And we discussed this, that we could have repercussions. And, you know, I'm getting calls for speaking engagements. You know, I'm going to be speaking to a lot of groups and organizations, not only telling my story, but to encourage them, Derry, to get involved in these issues that's facing us and get involved and let's solve them. You know, Derry, we are fortunate in this country. We have a political system that works. The problem with our political system, the people's not participating in it. We're allowing special interests to control our government, and those special interests are not in mine and your interest. And we've got to take back control of our country from these people, and it's going to take people getting involved. So when I'm traveling around speaking to different groups, not only telling my story, but just encouraging people to get involved. I mean, it is our obligation, because if we don't, we're not leaving this country in better shape for our kids and grandkids. We're leaving it in a much worse shape. And surely, well, the way our founding fathers sacrificed, surely it's not too much of a sacrifice for us to be involved and make these changes. And, Derry, it doesn't take violence. It takes good people doing good, and we have the opportunity to do that.
Get Wayne's book. $18. We'll put it in your mailbox. Just send check, cash, or money order to Wayne Crites Book, or just Soybean Book or anything. We'll know what it is. To P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. Wayne, you're working as at a local school right now.
Yes, I am.
All right. Now, we were wondering about this. You don't have, I mean, I'm surprised the feds haven't guaranteed you wages.
Well, you know, that can happen at any time, you know, and so, you know, and like I say, I'm going to be stirring up dust again, and so there, like I say, we may have a lot of repercussions against us. If we do, that's something we accept. You know, there's no battles that come easy, and you do what you feel you've got to do, and you know, whatever the consequences is, you know, you've got to accept them and handle them and battle them the very best you can.
In 15 seconds, I mentioned this yesterday, let's do it again. Could you do this in the year 2006?
I'd say that it would be very, very tough, because there's so many things has changed since then, and I'm afraid that it would have been very difficult to do nowadays.
No, when you started driving through when you started moving your truck through those 8 federal marshals, they would have pulled out their guns and started firing away, wouldn't they?
Very likely what would happen now, it sure would.
And we're out of time, so let's just listen to Happy Trails.
Happy Trails.
Clouds and we're together.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.